We are ready to start. If you got the PDF, it was sent out this morning if you're in the group. And that is we're in Shar Sheni, the second section of the book, which we've been doing now for a while, Perek Asiri. And Perek Asiri is a very short perek, Sikum Pirkei HaMitzvot, which is basically, as you recall, the last few weeks, he has had a mini-series, about different insights into the overall approach to the life of mitzvos. I think it started in Perek Hamishi. So this is the sixth of the chapters, and this is a summary chapter. So it is basically just going to be highlighting, but it's a good opportunity to review, especially at my age, it's a good opportunity to review the things that we've been doing. And then, as you'll see at the end of this little piece, he transitions, and you'll see he's basically setting the stage for the Hakdama, for the introduction to the next little mini-series, which again should only take us 2, maximum 3 weeks, and that is about Musar. So if you take a look at the top of the page, Sikum Pirkei HaMitzvot. B'kiyum HaMitzvot HaMasiyot Orevet La'adam Sakana Mitzad Shvirut Libo. Says when it comes to mitzvot in the sense of things we have to do, the actions, if you recall last week, and he'll return to it again this week, last week we're still talking about the Chovos HaLevavot, or the inner mitzvot, the interior mitzvot. But here when it comes to the actions that we have to do, or the things that we're not allowed to do, it says we are often ambushed. Right? It's a very poetic and vivid phrase. We are often ambushed with the danger of shrirut libo. Now, this seems to have been his favorite word over the last few weeks, and I have struggled to give a good translation for it. Anyone want to? No, not a rebbe. Shrirut libo.
Stubborn,
right? I was going to ask Rabbi Klammer what you thought. So I've translated it in a number of different ways, and maybe the answer is it's one of those phrases that means everything. But like even on this little chapter now, he uses it quite a few times. But basically, at least in the context here, as he's about to say, the goal, as again, he's going to repeat all this very directly, but the goal, we have to have a certain attitude towards mitzvos. There's a certain right attitude, which has to do with being, you know, a loyal subject and feeling a sense of mechuyavut, of being under obligation. Shrirut libo, in this context, is the opposite. The idea that we have our own kind of agenda, and therefore it may take us in different directions. And what is fascinating is, right away, he mentions two different things which are problematic. Not when we don't do a mitzvah. When we do a mitzvah, two different things which could be problematic, which are in a certain sense the opposite of each other, but since we're talking about the human being, so we can be complicated, we can be complex, and we can even be contradictory. So what are the two things that are problematic that can somehow ambush us, even when we're doing a mitzvah? Sometimes, number one, HaMechapeset Gam B'masa HaTov L'famim Kula L'val Yechabit Ol HaMitzvah Yoter Midai. So sometimes we have the attitude of, we're looking for a kula. Rabbi, come on, do I have to do this? What's the bare minimum that I have to do? Again, it's not an aveira. We're not talking about someone who's sinning. We're talking about someone who's doing a mitzvah. And we're also not saying clearly that there's no room for kula. Right? The nature of halacha is, you know, if you put it in the halacha machine, you know, some percentage of the time it's going to spit out kulas. Sometimes it's going to spit out chumras. But everyone understands that sometimes the answer is mutter, sometimes the answer is tahor. He's not denying that. But this is an attitude. An attitude, I think we referred to this, I've used this mashal before, I credited Rabbi Friend with it, the taxpayer Jew. Person who says, listen, of course I have to do the mitzvos. I wouldn't chas v'shalom ever cheat on my mitzvos, my taxes. I would never cheat on my mitzvos. But I look at mitzvos as if I'm a taxpayer, which is give me the bare minimum and give me the best accountant. Right? And that's how they look for a rabbi or look for a posek, the same way you look for a creative accountant. Who's going to tell me the least amount? So that's what he's saying here. One attitude that's a problematic attitude is when you're mechapes kula, when you're looking for a leniency. You know, I think there's, I don't know if I told this last time, but there's a famous rabbinic joke about the guy who asked shailas about everything. He was very loyal in that sense. Never wanted to do anything unless the rabbi told him was okay. But there was always a pattern. You used to ask the rabbi a certain question, the rabbi would say, you know, you can't do that, or you have to have this much matzah, or you have to do whatever. So the rabbi, are there any other shitas? You know, and as long as the rabbi was honest with him and told him, yeah. And then, anyway, he lived his whole life that way. After 120 years, it goes up to, I don't know if we're allowed to say the pearly gates, whatever the Jewish version of that is. And they look at his cheshbon, they say, you're a ben olam haba. You always do the right thing, you always ask your rav shaila. And he says, let us show you where your eternal resting is going to be. And it's a small little 4x4 cubicle. And he sees next to him people have bigger, you know, we would say apartments, even villot, you know, Bnei Beitcha, everyone's got the fancy cottagim, everyone's got the nice things. He says, what happened? Why am I getting such a little dira, 4x4? This is really, my whole life I'm looking for Olam Haba. This is Olam Haba. So the Malach looks at him and says, according to some shitas. So it's an attitude. It's an attitude. If you're looking for the cool, that's one problematic attitude. But then he continues, and again, I don't think this is at all contradictory. I mean, it's the opposite. But we ourselves, in one day, in one minute, we can think opposite things. What's the opposite thing sometimes? Just the opposite. Ulefamim, our shrirut libu, takes us in the other direction. Chumra. Lahafriz betzidkus. No, I want the biggest chumra. You know, sometimes, not that many people ask for it. But they look for it, and you know, just from the street, people are always looking for chumras. And why are they doing that? Lahafriz betzidkus, to show off. You want to show how frum you are. Right? He uses, I think we had this earlier in the year, right? One of his chapters, he has a very famous chapter. He uses the term frumkeit as a pejorative. There's yir shamayim, that's genuine, that's sincere. There's shmir samitzvos, that's genuine, that's sincere. And then there's t'prav frumkeit. You want to show off, you want to look from, so therefore you do that, or you don't do that. So these are, in a certain sense, the opposite. Sometimes I'm looking to make it harder on myself, sometimes I'm looking to make it easier on myself. But the common denominator is, it's all about myself. It's not about what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me. So those are two different things that can ambush us, as he puts it, while we're doing the mitzvos. Okay? Bechlal ha-mitzvos, third line, Meviya shirut halev lidei hadgashat otan ha-mitzvot sheteva ha-adam note le-kiyuman. However, he says a third problem that could happen when we're doing mitzvos, and that is, again, when it's about us, when it's our heart kind of, you know, guiding everything and not Ratzon Hashem, so we are more likely to want to focus on and turn towards the mitzvos which come naturally to us, which are easier for us. And we're more likely to run away from or to ignore or to downplay the mitzvahs which are naturally hard for us or less appealing. And everybody, again, this is a summary in one paragraph of multiple chapters. We've seen this before, and it was such an insight then, it's worthy of reviewing this insight. We all have mitzvahs that speak to us more, and we have mitzvahs that speak to us less. Right? There are certain people that are the chesed people. They naturally have that. It's a gift. Baruch Hashem, they enjoy chesed. My mother said about my Zaidi, her father, Olav Shalom, or my father said this about his father, it was about my Zaidi, he enjoyed giving tzedakah. It wasn't like for some people to take a penny out, you know, to take a penny out of his own wallet. For some people, that's the biggest nisayon of all time. For Isaiah, he got pleasure of giving it away. Right? So certain people, so it's natural, whether it's chesed, whether it's tzedakah, or it could be certain other people are daveners. Certain other people are intellectual, they're learners. Right? So we emphasize, and we sometimes even overestimate or overemphasize, davka the things that are easier for us. Not because we're such tzaddikim sincerely, but because anyway we like doing it. Anyway it makes us feel good. Anyway we're good at it. So we over-exaggerate. I remember my father once had this insight, and at the time I pushed back a little bit on him. And now that I'm in Israel for all these years, I see that he's right. I was telling him about a certain person I knew who had made Aliyah and was like, you know, gung-ho about the importance of Aliyah. So my father said, yeah, because he made Aliyah. By which my father meant, like, once you've done it and you've sacked and it's hard, so it makes sense that you want to tell you want to convince yourself, oh, this was the most important thing ever anyone could have ever done. Right? Because then it bolsters the fact that you did it. Now, it could be that he's also right. I'm not saying he's wrong. Maybe it could be that Aliyah really is that important of a mitzvah. But it makes sense in both opposite directions. The person who doesn't make Aliyah is going to naturally downplay it, so they feel less guilty. The person who does make Aliyah is going to naturally exaggerate how important it is, so that he feels great about it, and maybe even rationalizes not doing other things. This is all part of human psychology. Certain people are naturally pulled to certain mitzvos, and other people are going to be pulled towards other mitzvos. And the human nature is that we're going to exaggerate the importance and focus on the things that we're naturally good at that are easier for us. And Dafka put down, right, the guy, you know, the classic guy in Brisk who loves learning, he's amazing at learning, but, you know, davening is chick-chock and whatever. And then you have the opposite, the classic guy in, I don't know, whatever other yeshiva there is, and they daven like crazy, but the learning is, again, I'm not just saying that people are good at certain things. That's obvious. You don't need a Volbi for that. His point is that the things that you're naturally good at, you also naturally exaggerate their importance. And you overemphasize, or you give disproportionate, maybe it's a better way of putting it, time and energy to those. But it's all wrong, says Rav Volbi. It's all wrong. Why? Ki ach chovateinu hi stamer lekol hamitzvos kulan ba'ofen shaveh. Because if you realize that it's not about you but about Hashem, so then we should look at all mitzvos equally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obligated us to daven and to learn, to do chesed and to live in Eretz Yisrael, to tznius and tefillin, and all the different things are all from Hashem. So it's true that some of them are harder for us, and some of them are harder for the next guy, and some of them are easier for us, and some of them are easier for the next guy. So then, of course, we have to work on the things that are harder for us. That makes sense, obviously. But then our attitude, again, this is all about attitude, our attitude should be of equal priority, of equal dedication and commitment, since they're all equally obligatory from Hashem. Okay, that was all on the mitzvot ma'asiyot. Yarei mitzvah hu yushlam. Al kol mitzvah, yesh la geshet bekoved rosh ubyira ozmet kabel mikol mitzvah tosefet yira v'chedrat kodesh, chedrat kodesh. That is to say, we have to bring yira shamayim to all equally, to all of the mitzvahs. Not just say, well, these mitzvahs are the important ones. Yeah, coincidentally, the ones that you're good at. Right? These mitzvahs are the important ones. No. We have to bring yira shamayim to every, to be a yarei shamayim. Who wouldn't want that stamp, you know, on their forehead? I'm a yarei shamayim. So says the Rav Obi, that you have to be yishlam. You have to, that requires a holistic approach, looking at all the mitzvos with equal commitment, with equal dedication, and with equal effort. All of those mitzad echad are what he called the mitzvot ma'asiyot, which are also almost always the mitzvos that come and go. Right, you daven at certain times a day, you shake lulav certain times a year. On the other hand, second paragraph, the mitzvos hatmidios. Right, we saw this last week when he had a specific chapter on this. The inner mitzvos, the chovos halavavos, are also, coincidentally, Rav Olbi pointed out, the mitzvos which are pretty much omnipresent. They're always obligatory. Yira, ahava, emuna, all of those things, he says, ha-hechrechu, and this is an insight he mentioned last week, ha-hechrechu la-lechet b'madregot ad shemagiyim l'shlemut ha-ma'ala. Right, either put on tefillin, or he didn't put on tefillin. You kept kosher, you didn't keep kosher. To the mikvah, you didn't go to the mikvah. Those are pretty much black and white. But he says when it comes to these other chovot halavavot, it's not all or nothing. And it's a mistake, he taught, we saw this last week, it's a mistake to look at them all or nothing. On the one hand, they're intangible, you might even think they're easier, but in fact, they're actually much harder. And therefore, one has to approach them gradually, level by level by level, until we eventually hopefully get to the shlemus. Mitzvah sahalicha bedarche Hashem yizbarach mechayevet hitapchut ha'adam lebal midot tovot. Moreover, we pointed out, all the various things which are, so to speak, manam lechavero, or midos, which are things that we are supposed to do, they are not intended to be merely lots of little things, but all those little things are intended to transform us in totality into a bal midos tovos. There's a person who gives tzedakah, and there's a bal tzedakah. That's not the same thing. There's a person who does an act of chesed, then there's a bal chesed. One is just the action, one is the personality itself. Right? Now, you can't become a bal tzedakah without giving tzedakah. But you could give tzedakah without becoming a bal tzedakah. Right? Is this person, in his essence, a charitable person? Is he a giving person? Right? And we all have moments of doing all these things. But the goal, says Rav Olbi, is not just to do or think or feel these things every now and then, but that it should transform who we are ourselves. We know a Baal Chesed or a Baal Tzedakah. Hazarot al midot ra'ot shebetorah. And of course, the opposite is also true. There are plenty of bad midos: jealousy, pettiness, hatred, v'chulei. And the goal isn't just to not feel those or do those, but rather mechayevet akirat hamidot ha'ela mikirbeinu ve'enan raki surin al masim hanovim mimidot ela. It's not just, you know, to not get angry, but it's to become a more patient person, a more compassionate person, so we're not cruel, etc., etc. So whether it's the good midos or the bad midos, the goal is not just the thing, but also really you in the middle transforming yourself. And another point he mentioned at the end of last chapter, gam l'kiyum mitzvahs tshuva b'shleimut, roish yishtan ha'odam mi'ikaro. And that was maybe the least of the chidushim, because as he pointed out last week, there was a beferish Rambam, but the point was to look at tshuva as not just merely getting out of trouble. A person could look at tshuva as if, you know, back in the days when administrators were not so educated and not so creative, you know, you did something wrong, you know, write 100 times on a piece of paper, I will not talk in class or something, right? Or other things, right? So you could look at it as a student. Or 1,000 times. Well, that's after. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So you could look at doing all sorts of things as I was going to get in trouble. you know, originally the principal told me you can't go on the end of the year Shabbaton. But now you could do X, and tomorrow that you'll go. So I look at that quote-unquote tshuva as a way of getting out of trouble. Right? That's how a lot of people look at tshuva. I realize I messed up. I realize I had a moment of weakness. So I want to do tshuva just so I don't get in trouble. Right? That's not wrong, but it's not really right either. The real goal of tshuva is to transform the person so that memela you're not going to get in trouble. Not that I'm the same person, but he has rachmonis on me. It's that the person who was in trouble isn't the same, doesn't exist anymore, because I've made myself into a better and different person. V'hine, now comes the transition, I guess you could say, to a little bit, as we get to the Musar part, which will take us to next week. Hine hakdama l'kiyum ha-mitzvot hi ha-yidiyah ha-burah b'halachot. So first of all, actually, I spoke too soon, I'm sorry. So he adds, you know, this is, even though this is not the focus of the Svarim and the Shurim, but he points out that, of course, when it comes to anything in mitzvot, a prerequisite, you got to know the halachos. But if you don't know what to do, then how can you possibly do it right? However, he points out, it's not enough. Ulam, keta nizharim mishrid halev, masakenet et kiyom ha-mitzvah b'shleimut. But how do you avoid all these challenges that we just saw? Mi marelonu es darchei ha-madregos b'chobos ha-lavavos. You just told me, Rabbi, don't just jump into Yira, you know, don't be one of those flip-outs who goes from 0 to 100 and then 3 months later loses it all. I have to go gradually. It's a marathon, not a sprint. All the cliches. But who's going to teach me that? How do I know how to do that? Ketzad koni midos tovos, the ketzad okrim midos ros. Okay, I know that I don't just every now and then get angry. I know I have an anger management problem. I know that it's not just pshat that yesterday when the principal asked for volunteers to help clear off and set up the room, I didn't do it. I know that I'm taka selfish. I admit it, I'm selfish. How do I change that mida? How do I do it? Bazeh mistamnim tchumeha shel chokhmas hamusar. She oseket binyanim elu. And now, says Rav Volbi, now we're ready after having this 4 or 5 part, 6 part mini unit on mitzvos, now you're getting to it. Now you understand. Now you all understand the what, but the how. How do we? Now we know all the whats that we have to do. How do we actually do them? Now you know what the role of Musar is. That's exactly, says Rav Volbi, that's where he sees the role of Musar. Hamit kabelet hagdara brura mahu inyana shalchah mara Musar. And therefore we can, based on everything we're saying now, we can have a 5 bullet point plan. It's like a, you know, it's like a business plan. We're making a future plan. We have 5 bullet points, and this is, I assume, going to be the introduction or the segue to the next mini unit, which we'll do over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Which is based on all of this. Now we understand what are the specific concrete goals of Musar. Number one, Mnias Shvirut Halev Bekima Mitzvah. Yes, even though I still struggle with the exact translation of Shvirut Halev, but we saw in the opening paragraph what he means by that, right? The Shvirut Halev in mitzvos, i.e., either that I'm dafka favoring the mitzvos that I like, I'm dafka de-emphasizing the mitzvos that I don't like, I'm dafka looking for kulos because I'm a taxpayer Jew, I'm dafka looking for chumros because I'm trying to show off. All of that stuff, how do I avoid that? I'm doing the mitzvos anyway, but I don't have the right attitude. So how do you avoid those things? That's going to be a role for Musar to play. Birur Madrego Damailos, Vahasagasan, as we just said, how do you know how to take this huge ball called Yirat Shemayim, this huge ball called Avad Hashem, this huge ball called Anova, and break it down into little pieces that I know I can go step by step? That's Chochmas HaMusar. Number three, Birur HaMidos, Vedarkei Kiniyasan, or the opposite in the bad case, Biuran. What are the right Midos, and how do I get them? What are the bad Midos? How do I get rid of them? That's the role of Musar. Tshuva ugidareha. What exactly is tshuva? How do I change myself? And last, limur hayira, a focus on specifically increasing our yirat shamayim. Those are the kind of things in which hopefully Musar can play a role in helping us be mashlim, now that we understand in this 4, 5, 6 part series the role or the different aspects of mitzvah observance. Now we understand the hand in glove, so to speak, the relationship between Musar and mitzvahs. And I already took a peek. Well, again, we're going to learn this next week, but I took a peek. You know, you don't have this on the PDF, but if those of you have a sefer, the opening sentence of the next chapter, which is going to be the beginning of this unit called Musar, the opening sentence, we'll repeat it next week, obviously, but I'm going to say it now just because it's the perfect hashlamah to everything we just said. He says here, Musar, hi chachmar habitzua, shal tarah kol kula. Right, it's the one. It helps you implement. Oh. Right. It helps the execution. Help. Right. There are people who can make up the strategy, make up the plan, but they don't necessarily know how to execute it. Now there are people who know how to execute a plan, but they wouldn't know how to design a plan. That's the hand in glove. That's the relationship, he says, between mitzvos and Musar, or Torah and Musar. Torah is knowing the what, And then figuring out the how, considering how complicated we are as human beings, is the role of Mussar. Emir Tashem, we'll pick up with that next week. A good Shabbat.